Hello, and welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, special episode 4. I'm so excited to have this particular special guest today because I've just started working with her, and she's super, super, super duper. It's Donalyn Champlin. Hi, Donalyn.
Ooh, I had to do that as well, just for you.
Thanks, yeah, thanks. Everybody likes to imitate that, it seems. Thank you for singing my music.
I can't tell you how thrilling it is to sing your music. You know, no, seriously, your music is some of my favorite stuff to sing. It's actor oriented as well, which is, and it's everything oriented. It's musician oriented because. The notes make sense with the emotion, which makes sense with the words, which makes, you know, it all makes sense to me. So I, kudos right back to you, baby.
Thanks. Well, coming from you, that means a lot because we all know about your extensive musical skills. Segue to, was that your most recent Broadway performance?
Sweeney Todd?
Sweeney Todd.
Yes, it was.
Donalyn, if you don't know this already, played the role of Pirelli in Sweeney Todd, but that wasn't all. You were sort of the musical backbone of the show.
I would say the conducting of it fell on my shoulders and Alex Gemignani's shoulders.
Yeah.
Alex played the Beatle, and he was at the piano for most of the night. And I was on the accordion for most of the night, and so between the two of us, we had two keyboards going. And since I was on the floor, and I could, the reason why they wanted me desperately to play the accordion was because they wanted someone on a keyboard mobile. And my doctor character was also in charge. So I took care of a lot of tempo setting and a lot of cutoffs and a lot of, you know, breathe-ins and sniffs and crazy stuff like that because I was visible.
Yeah.
And then Alex and John Arbo on the bass, Alex was more internal tempos. We would just listen very, very carefully to what Alex was doing on the keyboard. And so between Alex and I, we were the conductors of the show. I think it's safe to say. And it's funny because we used to tease each other because his part, you know, he's at the piano all night, which is a real drag, you know, and he's got his back to the audience for like 75% of the show. Mm-hmm. It's a real drag. But on the other hand, I was like, listen, Trixie, I have to carry around a 16-pound accordion all night long, and I never get to sit down. So, you know, we all had our issues. Yeah. I mean, there was some nights where there was nothing that would have thrilled me more than to just sit at the piano. And he didn't memorize anything either, so because
he had
the score.
There?
Yeah. Of course, Gemignani, though, he's a musical genius. He had the thing memorized. He didn't need the score. Kept it in case people got lost or somebody else needed the score, but it wasn't for Gemignani. He's a freak.
So lucky to have found you guys, because I will say this from having worked with you, your musical instincts are impeccable.
Oh, thank you.
And not only that, but you play the piano and you have this kind of gestalt, you know, around.
I love it, gestalt.
You know, like you're operating on many different levels,
on
all cylinders, or I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just mixing metaphors.
No, I appreciate that though. I really do, because I think it's kind of a lost art in a way of interpreting lyric, and you know what I mean, as far as just, you know, where things are going. I think we're not asked to operate on as many cylinders, so we don't, you know, I'm just, that's a huge compliment. So thank you, because I try to operate on as many cylinders as I can.
Well, you do. And I want to talk about some of your other performances that I've seen. Now, I know I've missed some. I missed your Broadway debut. That was in The Dead, right?
Yes.
But I did see you in By Jeeves, and you were...
You did not. So you were the one.
I was the one.
Who saw By Jeeves.
That was me.
Yay!
You were terrific in that.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, Hollywood Arms.
Oh, yeah.
Not a musical. Well,
no.
You sang in it, but...
Well, ironically, The Dead wasn't a musical either. It was, even though when we were up for the Tony, they put us in the musical category, we considered ourselves a play with music.
Right.
And same thing with Hollywood Arms. In fact, I think besides little incidental singing with Linda Lavin and Michelle Pach, and Sarah Nemitz, I had really kind of the only like number in this show. So yeah, play.
It was a great performance.
Oh, thanks.
Really, like, virtuosic.
You know what's really funny behind that story is I was, when we were in between right auditions and going to Chicago where it started, Carol Burnett, actually, who the show is based on and written by, with, along with her daughter, Carrie Hamilton, she had this crazy story about when she was an usherette in a movie theater. And if you, are you familiar with Twilight Zone episodes at all?
It's been a while.
Okay, well, I just literally saw her like a month ago, and we're sitting there, and she wanted desperately to tell this story because it was hilarious. It was about this boss who had all his hand signals and crazy stuff. And it just didn't work. Like, for the play, it just didn't work, and so she scrapped that me telling that story. And instead, it was me and Hal Prince and Carol Burnett in Hal Prince's office, and me just sitting there, like, not saying a word, just observing the genius between the two of them. And I'm telling you, within, like, 25 minutes, those two came up with that entire idea of playing all those different characters and doing the movie and the blah, blah, blah. It was, like, one of the most astonishing works of genius I was ever privy to be witness
wow.
to. And I just saw her like a month ago, and she was talking. She was like, oh, yeah. Oh, I was, I remember I told Rod Serling that story once, and they turned it to a Twilight Zone episode. Like, that's the thing. Like, you're sitting at dinner, and you're like, oh, that's my friend. And then all of a sudden, she says something like that, and you're like, oh, dear God, that's Carol Burnett.
Well, I mean,
what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
How did I get invited to dinner?
Well, you know what? You just need to talk to people like Stephen Sondheim a little more and, like, start showing up in those scores, right?
Well, he actually was very present during Sweeney Todd. He was extremely gracious. He was at the theater a lot, and he invited us to his home.
Nice.
After we opened the show, before the reviews came out. I think he had his party the night before the reviews came out or something, mm-hmm. so that we could... Because we didn't know. I mean, we had no idea whether or not we were going to be, you know, crucified in the town square for doing this show or, like, you know, praised.
Celebrated, yeah.
And we had no idea. And he had this party at his house before the, what did he say, before the hammer came down. Yeah. So he's actually been quite lovely and very accessible to us during that time.
That's great. I want to also make sure I get to talk about your one-woman show.
Finishing the
hat. Have I missed any Broadway before I move on to the solo career?
I think that's it. I mean, Encores doesn't count as Broadway, right? I always get that confused. Does Encores? That's off-Broadway, right?
It's a whole special category.
It's a whole different thing. Okay, well then, yes.
Tell me, wait, but what did you do at Encores again?
I did Bloomer Girl.
Nice.
I know. It was the show that came and went. It was really weird. It was really fun, though. I had a great time. Michael Park and I are both from Rochester, so we kind of grew up together. And he was in it, and it was the first time that Michael and I actually ever got to work together. So, it was directed by Brad Rouse. It was a good time.
Nice. The one-woman show completely knocked my socks off.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Donna does this show called Finishing the Hat. Do you want to describe it or should I?
Okay. You know what? I'd be fascinated to hear how you describe it.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking.
Please do.
Correct me if I get anything wrong.
Okay.
So there's a hat, a top hat, dare I say?
It's my Pirelli hat.
It's your Pirelli hat.
Yes, they were lovely. They let me have it.
And it's filled with index cards.
Mm-hmm.
Each index card has a number on it, like the literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 number, and also a kind of coded title of a segment.
Right.
The hat gets passed through the audience. And I actually got to pick. I picked out a card that said, it was something like, number 16, Kismet at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
That was the first time that ever got picked, by the way.
Right?
Yeah.
The magic fingers.
Very sassy.
So Donna, every time Donna Lynn does the show, she puts a new card in. And the new card, it gets a special color.
Yeah.
Because she tries to steer the audience to pick it out. Maybe so she can practice it.
Because I'm desperate to know if it works or not.
Oh,
because
yeah,
if it doesn't
see?
Work, it gets taken out.
So this hat is filled with cards. And each card, I got to see probably about 5 or 6 stories, because you always start and end with the same story, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there probably 4 or 5 in between those.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every single story was compelling, dramatic, funny, heartbreaking. I mean, like, everything that good theater is, she packed into every one of those stories and then sang a song, either like at the end of it or kind of through it. It was so impeccably crafted and performed, and I just watched it thinking, this should be a Broadway show. It should be an HBO special.
Yeah, it's funny because when I did it, like the second or third time in Ars Nova, Comedy Central did come by and people were sort of talking to me about, you know, turning it into something or doing it this or doing it on the road. And, you know, it's just somehow it just never really panned out yet. But there's still like people go, like, oh, yeah, we want to do that with it. But
it's extraordinary. And so if you ever do it again, if any of you ever see this advertised, just go. Don't even mess around because it's literally the best one-person show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, really? Oh,
yeah.
My God, that's so sweet.
No kidding. Yeah, you're a star.
Oh, I'm so thrilled you liked it.
So I'm moving into the song portion of the podcast now.
Okay.
And I want to talk about the song you're about to hear, you people who are listening. This is a song that Donalind sang at a concert of mine at Birdland, and this is one of the songs I gave her, and I love the way she sang it. And it was a song, I did this concert, what did I call it, Songs in My Attic. It was all these like songs I never performed that I've kind of buried or hidden. And this is a song, it's called I Burn. And it was written for this show, Hush. Those of you who know my songs will recognize the show title. It's the guy Miles who sings He'll Never Get What I Do, Hold My Hand. He's the composer, the gay, neurotic Jewish composer. And this was from a show he was working on. So this is such a weird song because it's written by a character, so it's like, it doesn't even have like completely my sensibility, and I would never have chosen the subject matter as a show. And the subject matter is A Deconstruction of Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. So this is a show about Miss Havisham.
But see, I love that though, because you take it back though. You take it, you imagine what happens before, right?
Yes. Well, yeah.
See, that's the brilliant part about
and
it.
And of course, at the time I wrote this, I did more research, which I've forgotten. But Miss Havisham was left at the altar by a cad. It was her first love, and he wanted her money or something. And so she was jilted on her wedding day, and she ends up this like crazy crone who just has the wedding dress on until her dying day when it gets caught on fire and she perishes in a fire. So this song was actually designed to be heard from the show within the show, and it was sung by young Miss Havisham on her wedding day and then reprised with young and old Miss Havisham, one on the wedding day and the other as she's dying in the fire.
Oh my God, I just got goosebumps. She never told me that part. As she sings I Burn, the older woman too.
Yes, because she's burning.
Oh my God, of course. Dude, that's genius.
Thank you.
Wow, oh my God, I just got goosebumps. That's great.
Oh, I love that. So Donalind's just singing the young Miss Havisham version, which is a woman on her wedding day before she knows she's about to get jilted. She doesn't know she's going to get jilted. She's just about to marry someone she's really excited about. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Donalind Champlin singing I Burn.
Let me swell survive all those years? My heart, my soul, frozen to the a force that could contain my fire. Let it blaze beyond the point of no return. For the first time in my life, I burn.
Donalyn, I love the way you sing that.
I love the way you play it. And thank you for putting it in my key. Oh.
Yes, it was written originally a step higher, but then, you know, when you sang it in this key, I was like, okay, that is its new home. It really no, it's really nice and rich there. And you know, you actually did sing it in the original key, but this just sounded so much richer and warmer and
a little more oomph.
Yeah, and I like things to sound like people talking.
That's one of the reasons why what you write is so awesome. Because it does. It sounds, you know, the music lines and everything, it just sounds very, very natural, and but not predictable. That's the trick, you know?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So what's coming up for Miss Donalyn Champlin?
I am currently in rehearsal for the new Henry Krieger, Bill Russell musical called Up in the Air.
Right.
And it's... In rehearsal, we're trying to figure out exactly what contract we're on, because we all kind of signed up thinking it was going to be a reading, and then when we got more information, we were like, oh, it's a workshop, and now it's like a full-on, like, kick-to-your-face split.
Oh, for real? Choreography
for
and
real.
Costumes.
Yes, and set, and like crazy, like flying, like it's insane.
Come on.
No shit. Ha. And it's going to be at the Kennedy Center. They've already had to add like two performances, and it's just like, we're going to be there for like a week. I know,
insane.
But it's based on this Japanese fairy tale, which is like, it's like our Cinderella. It's one of the most famous fairy tales
right
over there in Japan. And apparently there's a huge Japanese festival going on in D.C. at the same time. So, but we've just started rehearsal, and we're having a great time. It's really cool, though, because our director is Japanese.
Mm.
And so he knows some English, but a lot of the direction is through body language and emotion only, because he doesn't have the words.
Right.
And he has an interpreter, right?
And Alan Moroka.
Right. Totally. And he has an interpreter, but sometimes, you know, you can tell he's a real, when he's speaking his native language, it's really, really, really fast,
yeah,
you know? So it's fascinating to sort of get this kind of direction by osmosis or direction by emotion,
yeah,
which is actually, in a way, really, really economical. But plus, you never get a line reading. How great is that? Never get a line reading. But
that's
it's just
hysterical.
A really fascinating process, and I'm really excited to see where it goes. And, of course, I've been a huge fan of Henry Krieger and Bill Russell for years, so
yeah,
this is great to finally work with them.
It sounds amazing. I saw the director's name is Amon Miyamoto. Am I saying that right?
Think so.
Yeah, he directed this amazing production of Pacific Overture.
Yes, that's him. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm a fan.
And so polite.
Oh, yeah,
I've never
guy.
Seen a more polite rehearsal room, of course, because of the whole cultural, you know, very, very respectful and,
yeah,
you know, but such a warm room, too. God, they love to laugh, too. The whole room, the whole cast, the whole company is just a bunch of laughers.
Yeah.
So we all just crack each other up all day.
I hope we get to see that in New York sometime soon.
I you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's so funny because I said to my mom the other day, she was like, well, is it going to come to New York? And I said, well, you know, Mats, it's based on a children's story. She was like, yeah, and? And I was like, well, you know, of course, me, the last thing I did was Sweeney Todd. And she was like, hello, Little Mermaid, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I had totally, like, forgotten that they were based on, you know, it's that weird thing where you go, oh, Broadway show, and you forget that it was based on a children's story.
That's funny.
So who knows? I mean, it seems to be very much the in thing to do. So we shall see, I guess.
Yeah. Do you do any coaching?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it, you know, it depends on, you know, what's going on, if I'm in a run or whatever, if I'm in town, but yeah, no, certainly I do.
I bet you're amazing at it. How could people contact you if they wanted to?
Oh, Anyone can contact me through my website.
Oh, okay, because that DonnellynChamplin.com.
.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so it's, a few people, actually most people contact me for coachings through that. So, I really enjoy it. And I'm actually doing more like master classes and stuff across the country, like at universities and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because... I really enjoy, it's not something that I really thought that I would A, be good at, or B, enjoy, and I find that I actually am, you know, pretty good at it, and I do enjoy it immensely, but I don't know how people can do it, like, as professors, you know, the day, every day. I don't think I could do it, but, you know, just bopping into town and, you know, teaching 3 days of classes and then bopping out is, you know, nirvana.
I know, it's really fun.
Yeah. Oh, you do it as well?
I do.
How fun is it, though? You go and they're so nice to you. And
I know.
They listen to what you say as if you know what you're saying.
It's so
true. But
you're
not there long enough for them to realize that you have no idea what you're talking about. No,
well, it's not that. It's just that everybody has something, you know, people will hear the opposite from you and something different from me. And
right.
It's like, it's all valid and it's all complete nonsense at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you again for being here.
Oh, I'm so thrilled you asked me.
And before I go, I just want to say that if it hasn't started by the time this podcast is uploaded, it will be starting any second, and that's the BMI Workshop Songbook Podcast, which is a podcast very similar to this one, except that it will feature not music by me, or I should say not music just by me, but music by other members and alumni of the BMI Workshop. And so if you like this podcast, I encourage you to check it out, the BMI Workshop Songbook Podcast. And a songbook will follow the podcast.
Ooh.
Yes, it's very exciting.
It's very exciting. I shall check it out.
Yeah, so the web address to check that out is bmi.com/Friday at 4. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Donnellyn, for being here. And this is Jeff and Donnellyn saying bye-bye.
Bye.